Our last case for argument, United States v. Searcy. Mr. Rosen.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mark Rosen appears on behalf of Appellant Corey Searcy. I'm here to point out, and as I've done in my briefs, that the affidavit that was used to justify the search in this matter lacked probable cause, and also the good faith exception did not apply in this case. I think there were several reasons for the lack of probable cause. I think I've laid them out in my briefs, but I think clearly there was a lack of specificity. The information that the informant provided was not sufficiently corroborated. I think there were some issues. One thing that this government relies upon is using these drug cases, such as Otero and Garcia. And one thing I note about this, and I noted in my reply brief, was that this was a case that had a firearm, and the affidavit clearly indicated that there were other members of the family living in that place, in that house, and that when we look at that issue, we can't just look at this as being a simple cocaine case, which is where it's just if you simply possess cocaine.
Puzzle me. This affidavit in support of the search warrant seems unusually detailed and precise, and what's missing? It goes on and on and on and on, 28 paragraphs.
But when one looks at a lot of those 28 paragraphs, there's a talk about paragraph 14 talks about Lena Gardner being the resident there, and they want it sealed.
What's wrong with that? I don't understand you.
Well, those are issues that I don't think go to the real relevance and the basis for the problem.
It shows how much of an investigation has been conducted. And he talks about his experience with gangs, and you don't contradict that. Is there anything false in the affidavit?
Well, no, I'm not saying it is false. But
his experience in gang-related investigations, is that false? And he draws inferences from his experiences.
That's fine and dandy, but the thing is, when you look at how this applies to the case at point, those are broad generalities in terms of gang-related. The fact of the matter is this affidavit doesn't say where this alleged informant says he saw the gun. It doesn't say when it uses the word with at paragraph 6. It doesn't say, well, was he handling the gun? Was it in a common area where his parents and his family members were around? It doesn't go into any of those details.
How is he supposed to obtain that information?
Well, the informant was supposed to have been there, according to the affidavit, and seen this. And that's not in the affidavit itself. He was within 72 hours prior to this. This informant was supposed to have been in the residence and have seen all these information, seen all these facts to lend to the probable cause. And that's not in this affidavit, which is clearly the basis for the search. So therefore, when you look at the standards of the law in terms of the specificity.
I mean, this confidential informant has apparently furnished information that's resulted in several arrests. That certainly helps to validate his reliability.
And that was within the 6 months.
He saw a firearm. And this fellow, of course, has a history as a drug dealer. It's impossible to get to warrant under your view. It'd be impossible.
Well, no, I think that what he should have done was given more detail as to my clients.
More detail? What? So that the magistrate will go crazy reading a 100-page affidavit?
No, we're not saying that. We're saying is more detail in terms.
Picky. I mean, it's too picky.
Well, my client's relationship with that firearm, if my client had been there by himself as some of the other cases.
No, but the affidavit explains, why they're living together and so on and so forth. They're living together. He's in the drug business. He's quite likely to have a gun. That's a prudent prudent measure for a drug dealer. And you have this, really verified confidential. Why are you being too picky?
Let me just ask you this, though. Even if we gave you all that there are all these issues that could have been fleshed out more, that could have been more detailed, the magistrate pointed that out in the decision. I don't understand. You said Leon doesn't apply. This seems to me to be dead on point for Leon, that even if there were problems, it was good faith. The agent went there. It was quite a lengthy affidavit. It was signed off on. Why doesn't Leon apply?
Because I think that under Leon, you still have to have there still has to be a showing that there was a reasonable reliance upon the affidavit, and our position is because of this, the defects in the problem in this affidavit, as I've detailed in my briefs.
Well, you haven't shown it was rubber stamped by the magistrate, or the officers were dishonest, or they were reckless in preparing the affidavit.
No, but
I
think
it was so lacking in probable cause that no officer could have relied on it.
But we are saying
that. Is that what you're hanging your hat on that?
We are saying that there was so lacking in probable cause that no officer could.
That's totally unreasonable.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rosen. Ms. Demashek?
Thank you. May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. Bridget Demashek appears for the United States. Your Honor, the District Court correctly found that the search warrant for the defendant's residence was supported by probable cause. First, the information was provided by a reliable, well-known informant. Second, the police corroborated the detailed information that the informant provided. Third, the information was timely. And finally, the information was based on the informant's personal observations. As Judge Posner noted, the CI provided information that led to numerous arrests. He saw the defendant with a firearm, and the defendant was in the drug business, and the search warrant authorized a search for drugs and firearms. It wasn't just for firearms, and including other things, too. Furthermore, the district court correctly determined that even if probable cause was lacking, the good faith exception to the exclusionary rule would apply. Notably, the defendant does not argue that the magistrate rubber-stamped the affidavit, as Judge Williams noted, nor has he said that the affiant wholly disregarded the truth. Basically, his argument is that the warrant does not contain probable cause, and clearly it does. And to the extent that it doesn't, case law from this circuit was not such that it would have alerted the police to the fact that this warrant was unreasonable. The issuing magistrate found that it had probable cause. The reviewing magistrate in the district court found that it had probable cause. And the district court, Judge Clavert, also found that it had probable cause. Unless there are any other questions, I respectfully request that this court affirm the defendant's conviction.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mashek. And we thank Mr. Rosen. And you were appointed, were you not? Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client, and the court will be in recess.